The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good thing is there are many cities throughout the country with affordable properties, many even under 100,000. Starting on November 1st, I will be hosting a four-week intensive virtual workshop that's going to teach you how to buy your first out-of-state investment property. We're going to talk about how to find the right location, how to build a team you can trust, creative financing, finding and analyzing properties, and so much more. You deserve to invest in real estate. You deserve to build wealth for your family. It's simply a matter of having the right information. I definitely want to see you there. So if you're interested, go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue, closing day from episode 181 with Ansel Troy. So Ansel is from the East Oakland area, and right now he is killing the tiny home game out there in East Oakland. So this episode is all going to be about how he started out and how he prepares his tiny house for the market and how he prepares his tiny house sales for the market. And so without any further ado, check out this Black Real Estate Dialogue closing day featuring episode 181. Let's get into it.
You're starting, right? Mm-hmm. You got to start somewhere. Obviously, you need to have some level of comfort, but right, you got to start somewhere. And I like your mentality because you said, let me just find somewhere to live and I'll figure it out. And that's what you did.
Absolutely. And also, I'm coming from a, you know, single income. Mm-hmm. So I realized that I cannot compete with a family, right? A two-income household, they can outbid me. So I did bid on two other houses and I got outbid. And I'm actually glad I did because I would not be able to do what I'm doing on those properties the way that I'm doing it here. So I kind of, this was like the perfect scenario for me. I didn't even know that this was the perfect scenario. I just knew that don't nobody want this house. Yeah. I'll get it. It's just me. And it was in horrible condition.
Yeah.
Which is it's actually very difficult for things to match up where the construction costs in addition to the appraised cost, where everything matches up where FHA will approve it, right? Very difficult. It worked out perfectly, and then I got this additional space. But just knowing I can't say that I knew the market.
Yeah.
I'll just say that I knew the neighborhoods. Even people that were from Oakland was like, man, you on 85th? I'm just like, yeah, it's just 85th. It ain't, you know, it's not the village, right? There's certain, you know, prominent neighborhoods in Oakland that have that reputation that has been earned, right? Some people wear it, you know, prideful, like, you know, I'm not from LA, but I hear rappers talk about, you know, the gardens, you know, neighborhoods and that have earned these reputations. But specifically where I am, it doesn't look quote unquote pretty. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of culture and you know, when we talk about the fact that people from all over the world are coming to my property, spending top dollar to stay there despite the rooster that my neighbor has. I don't even know who got that rooster.
Why do they have a rooster?
Well, you know what? My neighborhood is a predominantly Latino neighborhood.
Got it, okay.
It was previously predominantly Black, but it's transitioned. And I mean, I've seen people, I've seen one time somebody was coming down the street on a bull, I got the video. I pulled over my car and I whipped out my phone because nobody would believe me.
Oh my gosh.
A bull down the street. So we do have people that are, that come from places where they had a farm and, you know, chickens and roosters and, you know, it's just it's some of their cultures, but yeah, there's a rooster. It doesn't bother me, but some people would be, you know, devastated. There's a Harley Davidson, like two Harley Davidson clubs, one, 2 blocks away, another one down the street from me. So you're going to hear loud Harleys, throughout the day. We're on a major corridor. So, it's a busy street. So it's a bus line. So it's a noisy street. The, you know, and there's some illegal dumping that happens frequently in the neighborhood. And, it's there's a lot of blighted properties in the neighborhood, but it's not, when you look at the crime map, there's literally no crime on my street. Like Oakland has a map where they pinpoint, you know, calls for service. You look at my block, there's nothing. I'm across the street from an elementary school as well. And then there's also, that's also across the street from what some would consider a mega church. They own like the whole block. So you know, politicians will go there. Presidential candidates will go to that church so they can come get these votes, you know? So it's not unsafe at all. And I didn't, I just knew that people would know that. So there was no competition.
Definitely. Love it, man. So thanks for that background. So let's jump back to the tiny home. So the first one was purchased for how much again?
$33,000.
And then you used HELOC for
it. HELOC.
Can you, really quick, for those who may not know what a HELOC is, can you explain like what it is?
Yeah. HELOC is a home equity line of credit where the bank looks at how much your home is worth and how much you owe. And if there's some equity in there versus, you know, just pulling out the cash, you can pull out a line of credit based on your equity, and it's available for you to use. It's cash available for you to use. You may not even use it, but you know, a lot of homes have equity, but you can't like use it unless you sell or refinance. So that equity line of credit is just a way to use the money, and it's in an account, and usually there's like a date where like 5 years after where they'll cut off the line of credit, and then you just pay back on the principal and the interest. But it's just a, it's not like a, if you think of a credit card, right? That's just based on, you know, unsecured credit card, just trusting that you're going to pay it back. But this equity line of credit is based on money that's in your home, that you can use. And you just pay it back over time. If you use it or if you don't use it, it's a good vehicle for using the money, your money in your home that you own. It's dope, right? Yeah. Home equity line of credit.
Makes sense. And how much did you have to, put into like getting the property up to standard, or was it kind of pretty much ready to go when you got it?
When I bought it?
When you bought the
I think I want to say 98,000 was the
my bad, I meant the tiny home.
Oh, the tiny house. How much did I have to put in my property to get it ready for the tiny house, or
how much you had to put into the tiny house?
Oh, how much did I have to put into the tiny house? When I bought the tiny house, there was a woman and her husband living in it, and they divorced, she moved, so it came fully furnished. She said you can have everything. There was even a deck. They're like, you want the deck too? Right. I didn't take the deck. And they wanted to get rid of all of it. So it was fully furnished. And I added, to bring it to market, I added a Keurig, built a little coffee station. I added a couch. I put a TV in the loft area, a TV downstairs, towels from Costco, you have some plates. I can't give you a number, but I would say it was definitely like less than $4,000. I did have to buy a new tankless water heater because the water heater that she had on there was rated for natural gas, and she was using propane. And so when I would run the water, it would like go hot and then it would go lukewarm. And I didn't know why it was doing that. So I tried to DIY my way and figure out the problem until I finally broke down and had a plumber come out. And he opened it up. He said, "You see this? This means natural gas. You're using propane." And I'm like, "I wish he would have told me that, because the tiny house sat for months."
Yeah.
Because I couldn't figure this out and I didn't want to hire somebody. So I actually lost. I don't want to say I lost, but I could have went live much sooner had I known that I had to replace the hot water heater, and because I didn't want to tie into my natural gas and have like a gas line running, would have been a tripping hazard. I don't want to mess around with the public utilities like that. I just bought a new tankless water heater. I think it was like $500 back then, installed it myself. And after that, then I had to run an electrical line. Tiny house power is just like an RV power.
Yeah.
You just, you know, if you've ever been to like an RV camp, they have 30 amp or 50 amp power. This was a 30 amp. So that was like 2000, like 2,500 for the outlet to be installed by an electrician, something that I wouldn't pay for now. I can do it myself now.
Yeah.
So I would say maybe we'll say about 7,000.
Yeah.
Right. With the water heater and the electrical outlet and the supplies, no more than 7,000 to bring it to market. And I would even say, and that's on the high end.
Yeah.
That's on the high end, because it was already pretty much furnished.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, I think 7 is a stretch. But if we just throw that number out there, just know that it's not that expensive to bring it to market. It was fully furnished.
Right, right. So is it, I heard you say upstairs. So it was like, it's like a loft area?
Yeah. So there's a sleeping loft area with a low ceiling. So you'd have to, you know, when you can't stand up there.
Yeah.
But I have a chair. So you can sit and chill, watch TV, lay in a bed, watch TV. So total square footage, including the loft, is 298 square feet, 300 square feet. The loft is you can chill up there.
Yeah.
And there's the bed, and then in front of the bed, I got a record player and a chair, and you can chill up there.
That's dope, man. So you kind of started answering my next question. So the electricity, is it like plugged into the main house? Like, how does that work, the electricity?
So I have a breaker specifically for the tiny house, a 30 amp breaker. And then that runs to connect to like a car charger. People were like hook up a Tesla charger. That'll be one circuit specifically for that 50 amp, you know, electric vehicle charger.
Gotcha.
Or think about a washer or dryer outlet. That's 100% electric. Those big old outlets. So we have a 30 amp outlet that was one circuit, one breaker that runs under the house and along the side of the house. And that's what the tiny house plugs into. But, I do tiny house boot camps at my house.
Right.
And I could power that entire tiny house off of a regular wall outlet. And when I bring them to the house, I say, we're going to plug in this adapter and I'm going to plug it into this outlet over here. I take the 30 amp, turn it into like a 120 outlet. And then I go inside, I'll turn on the heater, I'll turn on the microwave, and I'll turn on the air conditioner, and I'll let them run. And I'll say, you would never run all these things at the same time, especially not the heater and the AC. You don't need a 30 amp outlet to power a tiny house, depending on what you got in there. But I use that as an example, showing people that if you don't have the money to pay for an electrician, all you need is an outlet and an extension cord, and you got enough power.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.